Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. It's time for Advanced. Join us now as we continue day two of Magnificent Malta. Thanks for coming back for day two, because this is such an interesting place that we're going to talk about today with our panelists. I am Doris Broom, Peng Meng Hui, and
I'm Lois Fisk.
And Bill Quinn.
Bill, you have a Chinese name, don't you?
Gu Ming.
Okay.
So do I, but I forget. It's like Fiska.
Okay. Well, anyway, we're glad to be with you. And remember, in Malta, they speak English, so that's okay. Right?
That's right.
We're talking about this interesting island. And those of us who live on islands kind of like islands. I always liked islands, don't you, Bill?
I do. It's really, you know, being on an island is kind of nice. I like the weather, and I like being near the water.
That's what I like.
That's
the
great.
Ocean all around,
yeah.
Don't you?
I certainly do, Doris. You know our dream that someday Michael and I hope to live on Vancouver Island. So I'll go from this island over to Vancouver Island.
That's a pretty big island. You should go down and be on Orcas Island, yep. Which is just south of that. But then you'd be in the United States.
Yeah.
You're Canadian.
That's Canadian. Okay.
Well,
that's, right?
we'll forgive you for that. Yeah. Well, we're going to talk about Malta, though. And that's a place that's in the Mediterranean Sea. Now, where is the Mediterranean Sea, Bill?
Well,
you
the
like
Mediterranean.
Geography?
Yeah, I love geography. And, of course, the Mediterranean is there in between Europe and Africa. And there are just plenty of so many interesting nations ringing the Mediterranean Sea. There is an incredible amount of history there.
So many countries just bordering on the Mediterranean that we keep reading about in the news all the time. It's an interesting area of the world.
It is, Doris, and I have met some of our readers, actually, who've done Mediterranean cruises. And I also know that some of our readers, along with me, like the Mediterranean diet for a way of eating.
Well, you have to have a lot of olive oil and stuff for that,
and
don't
lots
you?
Of tomatoes and cucumbers and onions.
Okay,
yum.
Well, that's kind of sounds like a Chinese diet, too. But anyway, today we're going to look at page 17, and we're going to continue talking about this small country, but with a great history.
Yeah, we learned about that history yesterday, Doris. In fact, we found out that some of their history, some of their buildings and temples predate the pyramids by about 1,000 years, which means some of the structures were built there in 3,500 BC. We mean predates. That means came before something. So.
Well, you know, Bill, when you visit that place, you just feel the history. It's so quaint and ancient, but the people are so friendly, and they speak English, and they can talk to you. I think everybody'd love to visit Malta.
I really do as well, Doris. I certainly agree with you. And I think this is an area that people who have studied a little bit of history or really enjoy maps, you know, geography, it's an area that has probably tweaked their intrigue for this area.
Well, I know anybody that lives in Taiwan and lives over on the East Coast, like Suao or some of those port cities, they'd like to go down to these fishing villages we're going to read about today, because it reminds me of that. Ancient fishing villages is fun.
Yeah, I think a lot of our people here, readers and listeners in Taipei and Hualien and in Kaohsiung, they would identify with some of these ports in Malta.
Well, even over in Fuzhou and Fujian and along the coast over there and all of the different areas, all those people would enjoy this, I think.
Right. And I know a number of our readers in North America and some of our readers in the U.K., this is of interest to them.
So let's get on with the lesson then. And where are we going to read today, Bill?
Well, we're going to be on page 17, Doris, and we'll break up our reading today into two sections. So let's go down to line 26.
Honestly, though the capital of Valletta is beautiful in its antiquity, if that's all you experience of Malta, you might as well pick any of half a dozen Italian cities for the same kind of vacation. Small town favorites. My favorite small town is the Norman city of Medina. St. Paul's Cathedral, and the gorgeous medieval Palazzo Falsenhaus Museum. You probably could get your fill of ancient architecture in Valletta and environs, but Medina is a fascinating scenic place to walk with immaculate, narrow stone streets built on a curve, supposedly to make the flight of arrows more difficult. There also is a fair share of shopping, so you will find that Maltese cross pendant you didn't know you wanted.
Well, there are a lot of places that are old, and it talks about antiquity here. It's one of our words. What does antiquity actually mean, Bill?
Well, antiquity, that is actually an adjective or actually a noun that comes from antique, and it means something that is of great age, very, very old.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. And, Doris, I was thinking some of our readers have heard the word antiquities in the news lately, because in some parts of the world, particularly in the Middle East, they have been disturbed or stolen.
So it has to do with ancient things, old things. So the capital of Valletta is beautiful in the way it shows you the past. But, you know, you could find that, of course, in other Italian cities. I think especially on the west coast of Italy, some of those little towns like Genoa and those towns, they kind of remind me of Malta. The streets are narrow, the people are short, and they kind of remind me of the Maltese, the Genoese people.
Yeah, and a lot of that does carry on down through Sicily, then on to Malta. As far as some of that antiquity, you can look right at that picture, right up above that, and that is a street right there in Valletta. Gives you a feel for some of that antiquity. Certainly no modern skyscrapers, steel, glass, and concrete, but looks like intricate wood carvings and design.
Right, and I was just thinking for some of our readers, when it says this about, you know, it's so similar to maybe a dozen or two dozen Italian cities or whatever, the great thing about this, like we were reminded in our previous day, is it's surrounded by water, so it's a little bit different. We're on that island.
This continues, Doris. I just want to mention this first paragraph continues from our theme yesterday that the writer had said, mentioned not one more urban European visit. And so kind of continues this tone. The writer wants to move away from the touristy spots. And so, and the writer is even saying, Valletta is kind of like that. You want to get outside of this place to the other cities.
When I think about places like Malta, they're not really that touristy anyway, because they're small and they're quaint and they haven't torn down all the old things. So I don't think that writer needs to worry that much about it. The whole place has this feeling.
I think the writer's got a little bit of an attitude.
Yeah, I think.
And I think because Valletta, how commercial is Valletta going to be? It's not going to be. It's
not
going
at
to be
all.
Actually, it's going to be very authentic. So
that's
I think
right.
The writer might be being just a little bit harsh.
He wants to be really, really ancient, but it is. It's a nice place.
Well, and I was thinking, you know, coming to a place like Malta, maybe it's more travelers and tourists, and there's a difference.
Well, or people
that
are there for conferences and things.
Right, or the people that say, I'm going to get a walled villa and I'm going to rent it for a month, and I'm just going to be here.
Well, it goes on to talk about the small town favorites. And what was the small town favorite of this author?
We go to the Norman city of Medina. And first off, I just want to mention Norman City. This is the Normans are French people. They come from northern part of France, and that is actually the French influence on Malta. And they actually had developed a lot of this, I would say a town. I believe the population in Medina is about 15,000 people, so it's not a very big city.
No, but they do have this beautiful, famous St. Paul's Cathedral. Now, I don't think that St. Paul would necessarily think they were going to build a big cathedral to him. But remember Paul from the Bible that went around telling all about what happened when Jesus was on earth, and he went all these places. He was shipwrecked there.
Exactly.
Yeah. And actually, there's been a lot of cathedrals and things built in his name, and this is one of the most gorgeous ones.
Right. I think first I was thinking when I first heard the word St. Paul's Cathedral, I was automatically first thinking of the one in London, right? But this is this St. Paul's Cathedral that's located here in Malta.
Well, you can look down at the bottom of the right corner on page 17, and there is St. Paul's Cathedral in Medina.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Mm-hmm. And then they have these museums and things, and it's very, you know, you could just get the feeling of the past. But, you know, you could get your fill of this ancient architecture in Valletta and all of the environs, which means all the areas around it. But Medina is more of a fascinating, scenic place just to walk around.
Right. And you can kind of get a feel for it there. Look at the street just above the cathedral there. That gives you
a different feel,
the narrow streets like that. And it is fascinating. Also, immaculate
clean.
Is the word.
I like that.
Very clean, right?
I like that idea. Nice, clean place.
And kind of curved. And why would they make the streets kind of curved?
Well, it said it was supposed to protect them. Ancient days, obviously, from the arrows, as in bow and arrow.
Right, because people would be invading and they would try to shoot arrows and go around the corner and you can't shoot them. So it'd be harder to catch people there.
Yeah.
Right? That's interesting, isn't it?
Well, there's a reason they designed those streets like that. So in addition to these narrow streets where it's hard to shoot people with bows and arrows, there's also a fair share of shopping.
Of course, everybody likes to buy souvenirs, and it's hard to know what kind of souvenirs to have. So they do have things like the Maltese cross pendant. Now, the Maltese cross has to do with they did have a certain period of time when a group of people were there that was sort of a religious thing, and they were in charge, and they have a great big kind of a fancy cross. And, you know, you don't know if you even want to buy one, but there it is. You might as well buy that. Mm-hmm. It's just a souvenir piece.
People put them in, and our readers might want to do this, they might want to put them in what they call a shadow box, and then you hang it on the wall, but it's out for display for everybody. You might want to wear it if it's an evening that requires something with a larger pennant and with a beautiful sweater or something like
kind
that.
Kind of big, though. I wouldn't want to wear it.
Yeah.
Pendant's just another word, Doris. We would say synonymous with the word necklace.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So anyway, this is one of the things that you might want to walk around and look for souvenirs. But I think the main thing is not the souvenirs, but it's just the feeling of walking into history.
I think for me, I would want to, and I'm sure this is the same for Bill and for you, Doris, I would be wanting to walk around and taking a fair number of my own personal photographs.
Right.
And then possibly nowadays, because we're in the digital age, I could have them put on the wall later when I got home.
Well, and this is a very old city. It had many different names. They've had different rulers. In fact, some of the settlement went way back to 4,000 B.C. in this place. That's a long time. And it's one of the highest and the first fortified city by the Phoenicians that came there around 700 B.C.
Wow.
So it's quite ancient. That's the one that most people go to, actually.
You know, we talked about that yesterday, about how the people, the Maltese people, are so welcoming of strangers. It is kind of amazing because they've been invaded and actually conquered, and the area's been taken over so many times. You think they'd get tired of this, but somehow they're still, you know, friendly to people, visitors. So when you were there, how did you find them?
Oh, I thought everybody was very friendly, and you don't think about all of the history, but you feel it when you look at the buildings. And I like this city because it was kind of higher up, and you could look around and you could see the ocean. And that's where they have a beautiful little concert hall that was made hundreds of years ago.
Wow.
Beautiful.
Sounds lovely. Mm-hmm. And I just think there's so much history here. We even know that in 1798 there was the arrival of Napoleon here. So there is quite the history to Malta.
Well, that's true, because this city that we're talking about is about 200 meters above the sea level, and it is the oldest inhabited place in Malta. So when you think about that place, you realize that different people have come there from time to time, and the fact that Napoleon even went there is something to think of.
In Medina.
Yeah,
that's one thing I do want to clarify for our listeners and readers that, yeah, Medina was the old capital. We had read earlier that Valletta is the current capital, but Medina was the old capital.
But it's the real paradise out of the Middle Ages, it says, right? It's beautiful.
Yeah.
So you want to go there too. And it's right in the middle of the island, actually. So it's a place everybody goes.
Well, I'm a little bit envious, Doris, that you've been there.
Well, I didn't really know it was so special when I went there. I said, Malta, I've never been there. Once you get there, you feel, boy, this is really worth coming to.
Yeah.
In fact, we need to find out a little bit more about it as we read on about what it's like there in some of the other places, because you get to go down to the seashore. Let's read on.
The picture-perfect fishing port of Marsaschlok, pronounced Marsaschlok, and home to a fishing fleet and attendant great seafood, is near the airport and thus a great way to decompress whether coming or going. On a Saturday in Marsaschlok, restaurants offer all kinds of al fresco dining. I eeny, meeny, miny mowed one of the tents arrayed along the harbor and had some of the best amberjack I've ever tasted. They call it akiola. I liked Zurich for a different reason. Not a tourist town, it seemed the most genuinely Maltese. It's also where a shopkeeper, a sweet man, started crying when talking about the global economic downturn. Until that moment, I'd envied his situation in life. Turns out, he envied mine. The town seemed Italian, with old men gathering on the streets near dusk to talk about a day that was a lot like the one before. Meanwhile, the old women went into the main church, I think to pray for their old men outside.
Well, to say there in line 27 that it's a picture-perfect fishing port. So picture-perfect, it means the kind of place that you just have to say, let's take a picture of this. Whenever we see something that's just right, we say, it's picture-perfect.
Yeah, it is picture-perfect. It's what you would imagine when you say picture-perfect. It's something that you dream about. This is what a place should look like. And in fact, we did take a picture and we put it there at the bottom of page 17, that bottom left corner.
And this is situated on the southeast coast of Malta, right, this town?
Yeah, it's quite the name, that port. It's pronounced Marsaschlok, I think.
Yeah.
Am I right there, Bill?
Marsaschlok.
Yeah.
And it's a tiny town. We call it a city, but there's 10 or 15,000 people there. Looks like one of those sleepy fishing villages. And Doris, you mentioned Suao a little bit earlier.
Reminds me of that.
Yeah.
Well, this bay was historically a very important place, and it has a lot of historic buildings that are still there to this day because they were a part of the defense of Malta, because the other part was up on the hill more, and this is down where the ships would come in.
Exactly.
And they have all these pictures, you know, here, the Bronze Age fortified settlement and the prehistoric Temple of Hercules, the medieval chapel. All those buildings are there.
It's quite the history, Doris.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, you mentioned that they had like a navy to protect people, or their ships to protect people because of attacks. Well, right now they got a fishing fleet instead and attendant great seafood. And when we mean attendant, that means just as usual. Always
there.
It's there
for you, right? It's available.
Yeah, it's always there.
Well, and the biggest thing everybody knows is there's that St. Lucian Tower. This tower is really right at the very, you know, headlong edge when you come in there, and it protects the place. And this was the largest bay, and this is the place where Napoleon took over Malta, right from this bay in 1798.
I know. You'll find so much of that on the websites too, Doris.
Mm-hmm. And they spent a lot of money on defense and that harbor and everything. But, you know, this place was also something very interesting because President Bush, the first President Bush, went there to meet a very important leader.
Yeah, at that time it was Mikhail Gorbachev from the Soviet Union. And so this is the older Bush. And
it was in 1989.
Yeah, so many years ago, and about 20 years ago, right, a little bit over 20 years ago, he did meet with Mikhail Gorbachev because this would be considered a neutral site for them to meet.
That's right.
And I was thinking, you know, they have all those meetings and everything. They would need to go down to the water and they would need to decompress.
Don't you think that?
They
probably went down to eat seafood. Who knows, you know.
But I always think they need to decompress, like our vocab word.
That's true. But, you know, in the 1980s, they did have a lot of reclaimed land. They dredged the sea bottom there, and they made the place improved quite a bit. But Actually, the fact that Bush and Gorbachev met there makes it another thing for a famous meeting place, really.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah. Now, when they met, was it in Marsashloke or was it in Medina or Valletta? Does it say?
Well, it says that they had this summit meeting on Malta there. So,
okay, it doesn't give the exact city.
No.
That would be easy for our readers to find out.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But,
okay.
I mean, imagine meeting, you know, over there in Malta is quite an important thing.
It's kind
thing.
Of funny that they would meet there. Normally we would think, all right, the president of the Soviet Union,
yeah.
President of the United States, Paris or Rome or London or somewhere like that. We wouldn't think, oh, they're going to meet in Malta.
Wasn't that strange?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm wondering if it was maybe they were such powerful leaders at that time, both of them. Was it easier to protect possibly too?
Well, and also that, you know, you weren't siding in with anybody. It's kind of, like you said, a neutral place.
I think, it's a neutral place for both parties. I think that's also part of it. You're avoiding a lot of protests,
exactly.
Maybe in a larger city, mm-hmm. and security is going to be easier.
Yeah. Right.
Certainly.
So I think that the whole place there, wherever you go around there, you're going to find all kinds of things you didn't know about when you get there.
Well, yeah, and you're going to probably find out a lot more about some famous people that have visited that area as well.
So, all right, so we did find out here that in Marsashloke, great place to decompress and enjoy yourself. They've got plenty of restaurants, all kinds of al fresco dining. Well, what kind of dining is that?
Well, al fresco dining, Bill, automatically makes me think of being outside and eating outside and having really fresh food.
All right, now, this one term here, Doris, I have to make sure I define this for all of our listeners, is that it is in line 33, I eeny, meeny, miny, moe.
Yeah, I wondered how you were going to explain that, Bill.
Yes.
All right.
Eeny, meeny, miny, moe, right?
Okay. Now, this is how sometimes when we don't know how to decide something, if we've got to pick between two, three, four different things, and we just, like, count off. And
one, two, three, four.
At a time. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe, da, 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 you know. And then whatever one is the last word, that's the one you pick.
And we said, my mother told me to choose this one.
Yeah.
That's right.
Exactly.
You don't forget the rest
and
of that.
And wherever
line.
You're pointing, that's the one you pick. It's because you use that as a tool because you can't make the decision.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a little game we play with
it's
ourselves.
It's a little game. The kids always do that. Yeah. So you
and like Duck Duck Goose, too. I remember that one, too. That would always take somebody out as well.
Right. But anyway, the reason that they like some of these places around in here, like even Zurich and those places, it wasn't really tourist. It was genuinely Maltese. But I think the whole island is really genuinely Maltese myself.
I get that impression from you.
Yeah.
And like you said, I think maybe our writer is being a little bit harsh in the way of saying, you know, judging things being
it's
too
not very
touristy.
Modern there. It's not modern.
I can't imagine that Maltese is very touristy.
No, it isn't.
You're just
really,
not going to get a lot of people going
well,
there
and
tours.
I would think the only people that can be citizens of the country are Maltese. So that makes a difference right
that's
there,
true.
Too.
They don't have a lot of foreigners there, right.
Well, one thing they do have are a lot of shops, Doris, and it's really interesting what I read here in line 3 in that right column on page 17. The writer said it's where a shopkeeper that the writer met, a sweet man, started crying when talking about the global economic downturn. This was really kind of a twist in this
writing.
Yeah, but
you know, they're like Italians and all. You get up north to the Norwegians and Swedish people, you won't find them crying about stuff. But you get down there to Spain and Italy and those countries, they're very emotional down there. You know that, Bill.
They're very passionate.
Yeah.
They're passionate.
They're passionate.
That's right. Yeah. So it's not so surprising, really.
Sounds like the shopkeeper was passionate about the economic downturn. And I think this is interesting, and I want to explain this for our listeners, this passage right here, because it says, until that moment, I'd envied his situation in life. Normally, as a tourist, I go to a place like Malta. It's so charming. Look at the old buildings. Life is simple. I think, I want to live here. Mm. But then there's a very different reality.
Exactly. Reality hits you, as we will say, Bill, and you find out how the locals are actually living, and they are not living like you are as a tourist or a traveler.
What looks to us like, oh, this is the easy life. Well, maybe these people are struggling. And in fact, turns out that the shopkeepers might envy us, the tourists.
Well, that's true. And you know, a lot of people, you know, don't even do anything very active there. But it reminds me when you go out to the countryside, and you see it's beautiful, cows and the sheep, but about 2 days you're ready to go back to the city. At the time you think you'd like to live there, but after a couple days, I don't know. It's not very exciting.
You'd be a little bored. I'd be a little bored. I might be like some of the old men gathering on the streets
right. Near
dusk there. I'd be a little bit bored, and I'd be sitting there talking with maybe Steve Marth and Gabe Harbor about how today was a lot like the one before.
And I like to say, well, now you should go to Los Angeles or New York and see something. So, you know, it depends on your viewpoint. But yeah. It is a good place to visit. We're not asking you to move there.
That's for sure. And yeah. I really would like to see some of our readers get out of always being in huge urban centers
and see
something different, experience the world.
So we're going to talk more about the food and the history tomorrow, Bill.
Oh, food. We got to talk about food tomorrow.
And history.
Ooh.
Okay.
All right.
And you'll be back with us?
I'll be back.
I'll be back for sure, Doris.
So we're going to have another trip to that beautiful island out in the Mediterranean. Be sure that you join us every day in advance. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye.